Hi, I'm Dan Q, and you're listening to a podcast that nobody asked for, exclusively about things that only I find interesting. Today I'll be providing my micro-review of A Psalm for the Wild Built by Becky Chambers. As usual, there's a blog post to accompany this episode. Today you'll find it at danq.link/monk. A Psalm for the Wild Built by Becky Chambers. I've already read every prior book published by the excellent Becky Chambers, but this and its sequel have been sitting on my to-read list for some time, and so while I've been ill and off work these last few days, I felt like it would be a perfect opportunity to pick it up. I spent most of this week so far in bed, often drifting in and out of sleep, and a lightweight novella that I could dip in and out of over the course of a day felt like the ideal comfort. And I couldn't have been more right. The very first passage gave that away. On the opening page, it reads, "For anybody who could use a break." My friend Ash described the experience of reading this book and its sequel as like sitting in a warm bath, and I see where they're coming from. True to form, Chambers does a magnificent job of spinning a believable utopia, a world that acts like an idealised future, while still being familiar enough to the reader that you can easily engage with it. The world of Wild Built is inhabited by humans whose past saw them come together to prevent catastrophic climate change and to peacefully move beyond the challenges of their creation of general-purpose AI, eventually building for themselves a post-scarcity economy based on caring communities living in harmony with their ecosystem. Writing a story in a utopia has sometimes been seen as a challenge, because without anything to strive for, what is there for a protagonist to strive against? But Wild Built has no such problem. Written throughout with a close personal focus on sibling Dex, a city monk who decides to uproot their life to travel around the various agrarian lands of their world, a growing philosophical theme emerges. Once one's needs have been met, how does one identify with one's purpose? Deprived of the struggle to climb some Maslowian pyramid, how does a person freed of their immediate needs, unless they choose to take unnecessary risk? We do hear of hikers who die exploring the uncultivated wilderness that Dex's people leave to nature, for example. But how does a person freed of their immediate needs define their place in the world? Aside from Dex, the other major character in the book is Mosscap, a robot whom they meet by a chance encounter on the very edge of human civilization. Nobody's seen a robot for centuries, since such machines became self-aware and, rather than consign them to slavery, the humans set them free, at which point the robots vanished to go and do their own thing. To take a diversion from the plot, can I just share for a moment a few lines from an early conversation between Dex and Mosscap, in which I think the level of mutual interpersonal respect shown by the characters mirrors the utopia of the author's construction. What are you? What is this? Why are you here? The robot again looked confused. Do you not know? Do you no longer speak of us? We tell stories about... Is robots the right word? Do you call yourself robots or something else? Robot is correct. Okay, Mosscap, I'm Dex. Do you have a gender? No. Me neither. These two strangers take the time in their initial introduction to ensure that they're using the right terms for one another, starting with those relating to their, let's say, species, and then working towards pronouns. Dex uses they-them, which seems to be widespread and commonplace, but far from universal in their society. Mosscap uses it-its, which provides an entire discussion on the nature of objectship and objectification in self-identity. It's queer as anything, and it's a delightful touch. In any case, the outward presence of the plot revolves around a question that the robot has been charged to find an answer to. What do humans need? The narrative theme of self-defined purpose and desires is both a presenting and a subtextual issue, and it carries through every chapter. The entire book is as much a thought experiment as it is a novel, but that doesn't diminish in the slightest from the delightful adventure that carries it. Dex and Mosscap go on to explore the world, to learn more about it and about one another, and crucially, about themselves and their place in it. It's charming and wonderful and uplifting, and I suppose it is like a warm bath, comfortable and calming and centering. And it does an excellent job of setting the stage for the second book in the series, which we'll get to presently. Once again, this was an episode of my podcast, which was based on a blog post, which you can find at danq.link/monk. If you enjoyed today's episode, leave a comment there, or drop me an email on podcast@danq.me. And as always, Dan Q for listening, Dan Q very much.